You guys, I've been on fire with the nerd jokes. Not even kidding. Because we were at, I was at my vocal lesson, and the guy who I take vocal lessons from, he looks like the nerd type. He's kind of like that type of person. And we were talking about how one of the programs I wanted to get into was 2 weeks ago, and so, you know, there's no way I can make it. And we were joking. I was like, no, I can make that easy. And he's like, yeah. And I was like, yeah, I got a DeLorean in the back. It's funny. And he's like,
What?
what? I don't know.
Really?
What'd you say? Yeah. I'm like, a DeLorean
He
back
didn't get
to
the
the.
joke. Yeah,
Okay,
back to
never
the future.
mind. Yeah.
I know what you're talking about, but he didn't get it.
Yeah. And then later
He should have
on.
just been like, I got a TARDIS, I can go anywhere.
This is Preston Patterson, creator and writer of New Generation Firstborn Suki, and you're listening to Comic Pop Library.
And welcome to Comic Pop Heroes, brought to you by Comic Pop Library. I'm Richard, along with
April,
Louis,
Logan,
Jonathan.
And today we're going to be looking at the graphic novel Rachel Rising, the first volume, The Shadow of Death by Terry Moore. Publisher is Abstract Studio, and it was done in 2012. And with these episodes, we're going to be talking about American graphic novels, some foreign to a little bit, but the Japanese manga is going to be done in a different title to show. So this is our first one to actually be put out with Comic Pop Heroes. So thank you all for joining us today. And we'll get started with Rachel Rising. Just to do a brief rundown of the first volume, it opens up pretty much right in the middle of the woods with a woman coming out of a small ravine. And she's standing there, and she basically... There's another young lady that digs herself out of the ground.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then she staggers through the woods and through the field. And a young man stops, picks her up, takes her home. Her eyes are what I call basically bloodshot, because this is a black and white comic, not in
yeah.
color.
Yeah.
Well, the characters are like, why are your eyes red?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and she goes in and kind of cleans up. And in the bathtub, there's just a big old dirt ring, or in a tub. I can't remember. It's been a little while. But this person is Rachel, and she was in this shallow grave, but doesn't remember anything happening to her. Basically amnesiac.
Mm-hmm.
The next day, she goes to her friend Jet's house, and from there to her parents, and a man says Rachel looks different, but he recognizes her. So, and these are all plays on stuff that future volumes would supposedly talk about.
Yeah.
And she wasn't a complete amnesiac. She just that last night.
She remembered bits and pieces of what happened to her. And
like, she knows her family.
She knows her name.
She knows her family, and she knows
just what happened
who she wants.
So,
yeah.
Right. So Logan's
night.
Right. It's not complete.
It's, yeah.
Thank you, Logan.
Because a complete amnesia can still do all those things. They just have no clue who they were talking to.
True. But he comments that she's been gone for 3 days. And Jet Mother sees her and says that Rachel isn't Rachel.
Yeah,
and that comes up in the later readings.
And Jet's mother used somebody in the beginning says, "Who are you?"
True, I think that's Jet's
yeah.
mother does that.
Yeah.
The town that she lives in is Manson. It's the dead of winter. It looks like it's snow covered. You get
mm-hmm.
snowstorms throughout the story. She goes and visits her Aunt Johnny next, who's the undertaker for the town. And Johnny believes Rachel is dead, but Rachel denies it. And this young woman that watches Rachel Rising visits a little girl in the next few scenes, leaves her, and then when the little girl's big sister gets back, she basically kills her.
Her big sister is in the car with her girl or her boyfriend.
Right.
And when she
goes into the house,
she goes,
"Murder
yeah.
time!"
Yeah. She goes, "What are you doing? Were you watching us?" And then
Ooh.
The little girl like grabs something and hits her on the back of the head, and then wraps her head in a saran wrap.
Yep.
And
I thought I was gonna sneeze for a second.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I just can't even speak. I gotta turn my microphone away. No,
but that tingling. But we go back to Jet's home. Who she wasn't there, so Rachel goes and finds her at a bar, and Rachel tries to drink but can't hold it down. And she goes into the restroom where there's another woman in there from a table where her and her
fiance.
Boyfriend. Well, I don't think it was fiance at that point.
Yeah,
boyfriend.
Yeah, they were just going out, I think.
And
no, I thought I read fiance because they were.
He hadn't popped the question yet.
He hadn't.
That was the night he was going to. Is the way I understood it.
Can I say that real quick?
She leaves, Rachel tells her she's going to die.
Yeah.
And then in the bar, the woman from the first is the very first woman that sees Rachel rising. And this is very hard. You're actually saying it very confusing, I know. Mm-hmm. But the first woman that sees Rachel rising goes into the restroom while the lady from the couple's table is still in there. And
I thought that was Rachel herself.
No.
Okay.
It's a different person.
It says right here. Thank you, my fiance just gave it to me because...
Oh, she had just gotten proposed to. Okay.
Yeah.
So she will have the fiance, but the woman in there... Let me find my spot here. Leaves the girlfriend, and they leave with him, and... Oh, wait a second. It's not the... I think the woman goes to the fiance.
Yeah, the woman goes to the fiance
and visits with him while she's in the restroom, so I got that backwards.
Yeah.
My bad.
Yeah.
They both get talked to.
Yeah,
and then,
eventually. And because he goes out and kills the fiance or jumps off a roof.
Pushes the fiance. But what happens was the fiance comes back from the bathroom and he asks her if he wants her to go get him a drink or get her a drink. So while he goes and gets her a drink, the woman is sitting at the bar and that's when she talks to him.
Okay.
And it is Rachel who talks to the fiance.
Yeah.
I think that's the right word.
Fiance.
That's cool.
One of them's guy and one of them's girl, right?
Yep.
Yes.
Isn't it the same for both?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
And yeah, Rachel is the one that's in the
bathroom with the female fiance, yes.
Yep. I did get that wrong. That's where I had to step back and correct myself. But then we flip back to another scene with a very young girl that just killed her sister. And she's putting the sister in the car and the house is burning down as they drive off.
That reminds me of the picture. Yeah. It's a meme of like that burning house and the little girl that has like just like smiling like really big.
Should have given me my cookies or something.
Yeah.
But I think I want to leave it pretty much right there and we'll just discuss a little bit about the book a little bit more. I've actually read the second volume. I think most everybody else, if they enjoyed it, has read up to there.
I read a little bit of the four.
Well, just for this, we just did the two.
Here's the second one right here.
Yeah, let me see.
I read a little bit of the second one, and the second one kind of opens from when they had the accident, the bat, in the end. And then her friend Jet is the one who is actually doing the rising as well.
Right. When she gets... How did she die? Did she get impaled by a...
Yeah, she got impaled, and then she got... I guess she got split in half.
Yeah.
But this is one... Terry Moore does his own writing, his own artwork, and he's most popular known for, I just went blank. He did Echo, which was a sci-fi series. That, and, oh my gosh, I just went blank on his most popular one.
I'm not going to know.
I definitely not going to know.
Comic books aren't. I don't know. That's not my nerd thing.
I probably got this far. So.
Yeah, that's about as far as I got.
My nerd thing is like everything but the comic books. It's really weird. Like...
Yeah.
The main staple is like,
I try to learn everything, but for me, I guess, would be like reading
a lot
books.
Of times after you read the first few pages of something and you think it's interesting and then you read a few more pages and you're like, oh, well, it's getting boring.
Well, I thought the story was good. It's just,
well, with this one, I couldn't get into it because of the artwork.
Right.
I don't like black and white and I don't think the artwork in general... to me, it didn't suit my taste.
Once you got into the storyline a little bit,
the
picture started to make a little bit more sense, whether it was black and white or not. It was just...
Yeah.
I think the pictures have to go with the storyline sometimes.
Yeah. Well, to me, if I'm not a... Like, I'm not saying I don't read comic books at all. Right. I read some, but most of them I don't read because I've got to be attracted to the storyline and the artwork. And most of the time for comic books, I'm not attracted to the artwork enough to get invested.
I got a question. And let's see if you guys know the answer. In Rachel Rising, what is she? Is she just rising from the dead, or is she a zombie? Or
she's possessed.
She's reincarnated.
She's
possessed.
She's either one of the witches or she's a vampire. Something like that.
Okay, because I know the lady who's
A ghoul.
I know the lady who is possessing a little girl. I think she's a witch. Yep, so I don't know what Rachel is exactly. That's why I was wondering, because she has that rope thing around her neck from where she was strangled with the rope.
That's another thing.
Reincarnated witch. That it was a weird kind of
scoot over so you won't break the case.
Remember how it was, but she thought she was older than she actually was, and the
hold on. Okay, now
go for it.
Go again.
Other person. Sorry. Oh, should we mention that there's another person that gets like
Jet.
Rachel?
It was Jet.
Yeah. It's Jet. Yeah.
Jet. I've already mentioned it. Jet the lady at the bar with the fiance, she becomes like Rachel as well.
Yeah, she does. Huh. In the first book, she becomes like that.
Mm-hmm.
But Jet is the reincarnation of the one that the little witch wanted to become her fiance.
Okay.
To be fair, she thought she was older than she was.
Okay.
Possibly, because I'm not sure where the little girl comes in.
Oh, she was not the little girl as in the little girl there. The little girl witch as in Rachel's
Jet. Are you talking about Jet? Or?
No, Jet used to be a guy.
No.
Yeah.
No. Wait, what?
Yeah.
No, Jet's female.
Yeah.
No, I mean the person in who reincarnated life. Into Jet was a guy.
Okay.
I didn't get that.
Yeah.
I didn't get that from reading it either.
Yeah.
It's fourth or fifth book. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You're going further
ahead than us here.
Yes, but they were.
I didn't even get reincarnation because I think I made it to...
I kind of got zombie-ish from it.
I'm
pretty sure it reveals the reincarnation bit in the third book and then gets the actual identity.
Well, then
we need to read the third book then.
I think there's a little bit of understanding of reincarnation just because in the second book. But we're primarily talking about the first. And
the only thing that, for me, I thought it was weird, I guess. Where I thought it was kind of weird was like the aunt, right? Which is the...
Undertaker?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like how she, like, I guess it's a everyday thing. We know what she sees when it, you know, like in the book when like those corpses get up or whatever for a little bit and they do like that gas thing and then they just go back to sleep or whatever they were doing. And it's just like... Rachel's like, whoa, you know, what's going on here? And she's like, well, it happens all the time. Don't worry.
Right.
I didn't mind her character. I minded, of course, the artwork again, because I read through, I think, 3/4 of the book until I realized, oh, that's a chick.
Right.
I thought her aunt was an uncle.
Well, just with the name, because the name was Johnny, so.
And,
but she
and
always called
she's, she's got short hair, too, huh?
Yeah.
I didn't pick up on that. I just saw the character and Johnny. I'm like, that's a guy.
Right.
Well, because her aunt has short hair too, huh?
Yeah. Well, I don't mind a more masculine chick. I just mind make her enough of a girl that I can tell.
Yeah. Going back to Terry Moore, I was wanting to say Troubles in Paradise, but it wasn't. It's Strangers in Paradise is his most popular work. But he does not have any issues with showing different sexualities. He's comfortable with that.
Right.
And that's one of his things that in every series that he writes, there's going to be some, you know, different sexualities.
Oh,
going
I don't
on.
Care about that.
So he doesn't. Well, to explain his artwork, he makes it where you are supposed to be like, okay, you're supposed to be looking at this like a person.
Yeah.
Rather than, oh, she's homosexual or he's homosexual. It's the person first. And then you find out later on, this is a
the way I see his artwork, I guess. I don't know how it classify it, but I guess he wants to go like the realistic way, like if it was like of a TV show, because I've seen some, I know probably he didn't write them, but like some CSI comic books and have the same feel to like when I saw these. They're trying to make it the realistic TV show way, maybe. That's how I felt when I was reading it, that I was watching a TV show, if it makes sense.
Well, I must say one thing, I didn't mind the rope burns around the neck, but I didn't like the bloodshot eyes, because she's Rachel, I guess. With her outfit and how she's portrayed, I see her, you know, she's supposed to be a bit sexier, a bit hotter.
Right.
You know, the hot heroine. Okay. Right. Not the jug. This is immediately what I go to. So I'm like, oh, God. But, and I couldn't picture somebody looking hot when they have, like, full-on bloodshot eyes. I mean, I get red pupils. Not pupils. Irises, sorry. I get red irises, but not the whole eye. I couldn't
in a way, I think he was attractive. Going for that stereotypical blonde.
She's a bit like the blue-eyed,
big-breasted character, but he wanted to throw in a little bit of that scary innocence to it to show, like, you can still be beautiful, but you have to have some kind of scary aspect to it.
And to show the bloodshot eyes realistically in a black-and-white comic, that's going to be hard to do.
Yeah, that's going to be really difficult to do.
He's trying to draw all these little-bitty lines in there, so he might have done it consciously, wanted to do it that way, or it was just a way to save time. He just darkened in the whole eye. Also, it gives it the supernatural element.
Well, it wasn't the black-and-white with the bloodshot eyes that creeped me out, because I literally took away the book and imagined a real person, you know, with the...
With their eyes
bloodshot eyes, because I've had, you know, everyone's had bloodshot eyes. So I was like, I can't find, like, no, it's not. No.
What about, did you guys discuss the story about the build-up? Is it something that you'd enjoyed or not?
It was too slow for me.
For me, like I said, I didn't feel build-up. Like I said, it just felt like I was watching a TV show.
Right.
And it was just like episode through episode, like really, they didn't feel like.
There wasn't really a build-up. If they would have. Like, showed a little bit more, like, without the guy's face, like, choking her and everything, and then her clawing out of the dirt, out of the ground, I think that would have been more of a storyline. It would have been a little bit more exciting.
Yeah, I would have thought that she would, the main storyline would be her figuring out what's...
Killed her.
What's going on with her, why did she end up in a hole in the ground?
She still hasn't figured out quite that, though. Still hasn't figured
out. Well, yeah, but I would think that would be the main driving force. Yeah.
After a while,
it's not.
It kind of gets sidelined.
Right, it gets into a bigger story. What about you, Logan, about the story? And
I thought it was good. Though, now that you mention it, it is kind of odd that after maybe a few mentions of it, they completely forget about her technically dying.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, because like I said, everybody's fine with
everyone's
it.
Everyone's chill about it.
Because the same thing, like in the second book, like, you know, when Jet happens, the same thing. They're like, oh, well.
It happens.
Yeah, it happens. Like,
it truly does. It
happens. Especially in a graphic novel. I mean, like, you can't expect to read a graphic novel without expecting some kind of casualty or something. Yeah.
I must point out that the cover of the first volume has such a wicked vibe going on.
Right.
And I mean, I don't mean like cool, wicked though. Cool. I mean, it's cool. I mean, like the musical wicked.
Oh, well, I kind of like it. I think it's kind of cool.
With the green and the red and the black going.
But it has like a little, red wisp of smoke or what is it?
Yeah, I think it's, like when I saw it, it looked pretty cool though. Like, like laying down and like having like, I guess her soul going out or something.
That's just how, I got it. But
or like, what did they call it? Like
corpse gas.
Yeah, corpse gas. Yeah, that's what her aunt. that's what her aunt calls it.
Well, I know Moore goes into the detailed stories. He doesn't want to skip too much in a timeline, so that's why I'm kind of surprised you didn't like it, April, because you said you like the day in the life, or he tries to do
artwork,
kind of the day in the life, because that's why it's so slow, and because he's more concerned about developing characters.
Yeah.
And the story is there, but he wants people to be invested in the character, so if something happens, you feel for it.
Right.
That character.
Yeah, see, I think there should be the healthy amounts of building character and build-up.
And the storyline, I agree with that.
Yeah, I didn't feel that, though.
And, I mean, if it was a day in the life and I liked the artwork better, then I would, be into it, but... I needed more build up to carry the art because for me I wasn't attracted
for me
to it.
I'm big on the artwork too, but I kind of liked the storyline where he was going with the storyline.
Yeah.
So I wasn't really paying attention to the artwork as much as I should have. I did look at some of the artwork and I was like, this could have been done a lot better. But then again, this storyline could have done a lot better too. It was a good storyline. I'm not saying it wasn't.
I'm not very into zombie life from the dead coming
right
in general. So it's like you've already got a mark against you just in general for me.
It's not really zombies so much. There's only two or three people that come back from the dead.
Right. Well, I know, but just the whole
idea. It still has a zombie-esque feeling to it.
And this is one where I've read his works before, so I was used to it. It didn't bother me. I was able to flow with it.
Yeah.
So I was able to enjoy it. But if you're a new person coming into this, I can see where the slowness might make you want to say, okay, that yeah. I can't. I want to read something a little bit faster. But right. if you're a character builder, a person that likes reading the characterization and having that build, this would be one that they would enjoy. If you're wanting the more of a story with a lot of action, this isn't going to be one of those.
Mm-hmm. The way I see it, I want a book that has the right amount of build and character development within the build. Like you learn right. more about the characters as you go as along instead of yeah. characters and then build up, you know, intertwine it a bit more.
For the libraries, this is one, like I said, since I was used to it, I picked it up for our library. We picked up Echo before. Again, this is character driven, so it's going to only appeal to a certain segment of your audience. For a larger library, I would say this would fit in. Medium-sized library, see what your collection is. Lower library, look at it, see if you definitely have the interest within your community before you pick it up. I don't know if you guys have any differing opinions like that or...
No.
Yeah, I think you summed it up right.
Yeah.
All right, I guess we will leave it at that. And again, like I said, that was Rachel Rising by Terry Moore. We appreciate everybody listening. We're having fun here. We hope everybody had fun listening. We'll catch you on the next go-around. See you, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook, or just tell someone about us. This podcast is not endorsed by any publisher, distributor, or studio, and it is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show hosts are their own and are not reflective in any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.